we can start with people, I guess, or a prayer. Maybe a prayer would be first thing. Volunteer.
I will. Okay. God, thank you for this time that we get to have to just to talk about things with our church. Ask you to bless us as we talk about the different people, many out there that are hurting, many out there that are just deceived by Satan. Mm-hmm. And I pray that you will give us wisdom and bless us as elders. Yes. Bless this meeting we have now. Bless the interview we have with John Gunner. Mm-hmm. I pray that it goes well. It's your son's name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, sir.
Debbie talked to Whitney Cannon today, and she went home today. So, but they told her, keep your bags packed. And so I think Debbie said she said that like meals would be helpful. So I guess Debbie will talk to somebody. And maybe if you get a meal train going for them.
She called me. I told her to call you. She was concerned about the finances with Whitney and Michael.
And who called? Who
did you Debbie say? Fitzgerald.
Okay.
And so she asked me something about it, and I said, well, probably talk to Dave. He's worked with Michael some with that. She just kept saying, we've got to get our bills paid. We've got to get our bills paid. She was pretty stressed out about that.
When was she saying that to Debbie?
Today. Okay. I left a call with Eric McPherson, just that we talked about maybe if our church could team up with CFS just to kind of help them. If I understand it, what we thought was maybe to use their professional people or social workers to work with them with some people skill, life skills and stuff. And so I got a call into him, but his Sigla Living social worker just resigned. Mm. So he's kind of freaking, because they're also looking for a foster care social worker. So they're looking for help. So
it's unbelievable, isn't it?
I know.
Yeah. Can't find people that want to work anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm anticipating Eric saying, oh, we'd love to, but we don't have anybody to do that yet. So just I'll talk about some of that.
Are there any other agencies around that have anything like that to your knowledge?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess I was blessed. I had Amy there for 15 years.
10 or so, yeah.
I had Laura Hot Hayes for 11 years. I was pretty blessed.
I'll pass this around. This is on Sandra Lumpkin. So you guys have a profile about where she lives, her marital status, and baptism day, all that stuff. Keep that.
I heard she got the tour yesterday.
Got from what?
The tour.
Yeah, she did. Yes, she did. Yeah, we're gonna follow up with her. We talked yesterday about just some orientation, trying to plug in small groups, and then Dinah, the Criders, spent some time with her yesterday. Dinah Hale, which is Carrie Merrick's sister, and she's ready to place membership. So we should be getting her paperwork in hopefully next few days.
So what have we decided on placing membership? Because, well, I know when we were talking about Sandra, we don't want to make it overly trying, but, you know, I think it's a good idea to have them go through the first steps class.
Yes.
Makes sense to
yes.
me.
And so
I just want to make sure that we talk through that, and that's kind of what the deal is.
We with Sandra, we kind of did it a little different, but we still want to take her through the first step. That's what we talked about yesterday, getting that set up. And so she can get an idea of kind of ministries and a little bit about who we are and, those kind of things. And so we'll do that. They did that with Dinah. That we were saying.
Who was the other person?
Dinah, Carrie Merrick's sister. going to hell. And so she went through most of that with the Criders yesterday. So she's got all of that behind her in terms of the orientation. So her next step is really to get the paperwork in.
So has she been, I met her at the picnic. Has she been around church since the picnic, I guess?
Oh, yeah.
She was there,
yesterday.
I've not been in service very much.
She was there yesterday. She's been around. She was with them up in Connecticut for a while.
Yes.
You know, so.
And she told me some of the facts. So like the two sisters were there telling me all these stories. I'm like, okay, so I'm trying to pick and choose which one I want to remember. And that's one of the things I do remember, that she was there in Connecticut with Carrie.
How long has she lived in St. Louis?
I don't know that.
A long time. So she's been here longer than Carrie. So Carrie had came back from Connecticut and went somewhere else, I think, too, in between times, and then came back. But she's been here, I think, since...
I think she was at Twin Cities.
I
think I'm not mistaken. So, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think she lives in Arnold or something like that, somewhere down that way.
And there's a guy, David Morris, who he's been for 2 weeks. He was out of town yesterday, and he's joining our Thursday morning group. And he really enjoyed it. He sent me a text.
Oh, yeah.
And we're going to get together. He's for 38 years, he was. Went to Webster Prez, and he really wanted to find somewhere where there was a men's ministry, and so he's joining. Our group's getting larger and larger. We've got seven or eight. Thursday morning's a good group, and he really enjoyed that, and he likes pickleball, so I'm going to try to introduce him to Ron Horick. And he lives in Sherwood Forest. Is that over Brentwood Forest and all those?
They said he walked to church.
Oh. Where's Sherwood Forest?
I've seen it, and I can't remember.
Maybe that's the name of the street.
Oh, okay, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. So anyway, we're going to get together a week from Tuesday.
Okay.
2 weeks, no, the 5th. Whatever that is. Tuesday morning he wants to learn more about the church. So, and I think he said he was an elder at Webster Prez for a while.
Yeah, Presbyterians are a little different. They rotate in. You can be single and I think 18 and maybe like a 2-year rotation.
So good guy, really nice guy. So he was really liked what he saw. Yeah, I mentioned Steve Worthy. Roxanne told me that diagnosed with Alzheimer's.
So Jim Roberts had bypass surgery Tuesday, and he doesn't want to be announced. He's a quiet guy, and he and Vicky are just great people. And so I visited him, and he's doing well, all things considered. But Michelle and I are texting him every day, Vicky, and so I know. Well, that's a pretty eventful thing, and so just
Where's
told him.
He at?
He's at Moab.
Okay.
Yeah, so hopefully he'll get out tomorrow.
Wow.
He's jumped into AFib a couple times, but I think that's not unusual. So, and then I've been emailing with Jerry Mickey, and I know he's discouraged about his feet, and he's supposed to have some treatments tomorrow that'll hopefully help his pain. And so just trying to keep in touch with him while he's in a world of hurt right now.
I know a small group has been taking communion to him every week. So that's been, Mike Hutchins and I had sat out in the hall last week, and they were taking him last week.
Okay.
And he said that they've been trying to, at least one of the families from the group. Their group doesn't meet very often historically, but Steve Jones and Mike Hutchins and somebody else is in their group. And so.
Jim McCoy is in.
Yeah, the McCoys, I think, are the other. They've been going out there and having it with him and Brenda, since he can't get out.
Good.
So that's been the last, almost the month, since he's not been at church.
I
keep forgetting to call Ed Bielek. We used to get together pretty regularly. In the last couple times, he hasn't been able to. I talked to his daughter-in-law about 6 months ago. She said it's hard for him to get out in the mornings now. Maybe he could go to Culver's. He likes Culver's. And a couple times I've called, and he's had doctor's appointments. And I'm not sure if he really did or just was not feeling good enough to even go. And I didn't want to say that. And I keep forgetting to call him. But he's slowed down quite a bit in the past year.
Just ask, so you guys probably talked about Michael and Whitney before when I was out. Did she get home from the hospital yet? So she did.
Today. Yeah.
Okay. I know I talked to him a bunch yesterday, and they're just, anytime she feels bad, she's just going to go. And that's what the doctors want her to do now. So because of the original problem that she had had when she was in the hospital.
Michael said that it wasn't blood clots like they thought it was. And so it's just having contractions.
But and her legs were swelling a lot, and so which is normal for twins. So I mean, but especially on the African American side, but she's had two cousins that have lost at least one of the twins, and so this is where they're very concerned, like the doctors as well as the family, because of that whole situation of if you have two different family members that have twins coming, and so it's. But at least they had one, but it's still the thing is you've lost one too. And so, but just like Sophie to a point for on the Kreider side that she's been on bed rest for months now. And so that's what they're trying to keep Whitney as much as she can to do almost nothing. And if she goes to the hospital, they'll most likely keep her most of the time if it's really something that they need to at least keep an eye on her.
It was a big day for our family. Debbie's brother comes home from rehab and stays with us for an undetermined amount of time. So that's going to be. It's been almost 4 months.
So he's doing that well. That he's
well is a relative term. But yeah, he's mobile, but you know I've got to get him to dialysis 3 times a week and.
Yeah.
And he can't hardly walk 100 feet without having to stop. And so we'll see how it goes.
And I'm flying out Saturday morning to Colorado. My son's going to pick me up. We go get a trailer, load up all of his stuff from a storage unit, and we'll start driving back on Saturday. So Aaron's moving back to St. Louis. Mm-hmm. He's going to live out in the cabin at Ruth. My mother-in-law has. She got it finished.
Did you?
I did the carpets today.
Oh, wow.
So it looks pretty good. So we've had to do a lot of work to the cabin. Nobody's lived there in a long
time. I was kind of hoping if Aaron didn't take it out and move out there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So we're excited about him coming home. Hopefully he'll be a part of this here or Lafayette.
How far away is that, Cap? Where's it at?
It's kind of right behind Six Flags. Go out Manchester Highway 100, and it takes me 25 minutes to get you from my house in Crestwood, which I always thought it was 45 minutes or something like that. You know, it's
not bad.
Yeah, not bad. It's out real, pretty close to Lafayette Church. So they'll go from Estes Park to Wildwood. So I'll be on the next 2 Sundays, okay. Colorado, and then the next Sunday, Rachel Chin's getting married, and
South Carolina. So we'll get to that.
Yeah, we'll be gone the next 2 Sundays. We have a wedding in Texas, and then we're going to Mammoth Cave with Melanie and Leon and
oh, yeah.
the kids so on the next
it's
week.
Northern Arkansas, isn't it?
No, it's in Kentucky.
Oh, Kentucky. Oh, okay.
So I'm going to miss Mount preaching, but I'll be online.
If it works.
Don't say that.
Boy. It's got to work.
It'll get recorded at least. All
right. Yeah.
You've not missed any sermon, I don't think.
Yeah, that's good.
In a long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Service is another thing.
Eric McPherson's was the last one. Church at the
park? It's in the park. It's different.
Okay. You get a waiver on. You get a mulligan.
In the building, we've not lost any sermons. We knew ahead of time that that was not
good. Right.
We have a volunteer for a prayer to cover all of that stuff that we just talked about. If not, I'll do it. Father God, we come before you lifting up all the issues in the lives of people around us, the ones who are facing the medical issues, the ones who are birthing children, aging, and just it's hard to hear about people coming down with Alzheimer's, and yet we know, Father, that you are God, and you have the ability to lift them up and to do miracles when you see it in your way to doing things. Father, we just say, blessed is your name, and you give and you take away, and we acknowledge that, and we want to be your servants and do your will. I pray blessings on us as we look for people to come here and work, as we just find that the whole economy is just shifting downward with those who do not wish to work. And Father, I appreciated Jerry's lesson on Sunday and how the church needs to be the beacon and the lightning rod of declaring your word so that people will be excited about being children of yours. May we be truly elders in ways that bring honor and glory to you. We ask in Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Dave, I didn't have a chance to ask you, but you want to maybe fill us in on what the plan is in terms of budget? So just getting started, I know, but just let everybody know what we're doing.
Yeah, we it's budget season for 2025, so the finance committee is going to take that on. We take our current year spending, and then we project the rest of the year based on what we spent a year ago and see what that's going to land. And the wages are different with Jeremiah gone and Jeff retiring, and so we'll see. We'll have a good projection, though, of where we'll land compared to the giving that has occurred. Our expenses are way down because of those salaries and a few other things. And so it's not as bad as the giving line looks in the bulletin each time. Mm-hmm. September was a good month, but we're still 90,000 behind 9 months into the year. So that's sobering. So I think we won't be asking all the ministry leaders for wish lists and things. We'll try to keep things as flat as possible. The year we're in, we tried something creative with our CFS contribution, and you might remember me talking about folks giving directly to CFS on behalf of our church, and they get the 70% tax credit, so it costs a lot less than if our church takes those contributions and gives it. And everybody's re-upping again to do that. Mm-hmm. So that saves us $36,000, and that'll repeat as opposed to go the other way. So that's really good. And we do have some members that, give in a lump near the end of the year. That's the way they do it. And so I do think we'll probably close stronger, but that's still such a big gap that We'll have to figure out, you know, what did, for these new positions, what does that look like when we drop that in? So anyway, we're working on it. We'll have updates. Hopefully late November, we'll have a pretty good picture of that projection and maybe get a little bit of input. So.
Elder salaries have been cut.
Oh, I retired for this. Man. Brad, a quick question came up in the meeting was the lady who's the tenant over here was wanting that window installed. Did we ever...
The sliding door?
The sliding door, yeah.
Yeah, I've talked with a few people. We got a real crazy high bid from Lowe's. So I talked with Keaton, and he's too busy for a couple months. He might be able to. So last week I got with Tom, and we walked over there to look at what's going on, and it's more than what like a Lowe's can do. And so I'm going to just call another contractor and see what's going on and see what we can do there. And the other is, and I, you know, kind of talked with you guys is, I've always tried to manage those on the cheap because we don't have a lot of margin on those. I think we're way below market price on what our rent is. Yeah. And so that kind of, limits a little bit on that as well. Just trying to do that is, you know, in a reasonable manner. So I'm hoping within a month or two to get some vendors or contractors over there.
So is the wood all around the window or around the sliding door rotting?
That's what Tom has said, and said there's some termite damage down at the bottom that they've known about.
Causing it.
Yeah.
Where you can't just put it in there. You have to.
Yeah. Plus around. The door is non-standard size. So if you go to like a Lowe's or a Home Depot, yes. When they priced it, they priced in a pillow window. It's like, well, no, we're not going to put a pillow window in that.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to see if we can fur it out and put in a standard size or what we can do. So anyway, we're looking at it. It's just nothing's
you
easy.
You might check with Mike Hudgens and see.
Okay.
Yeah,
might be good.
He'd be a good contact.
Okay,
he could get us. I think a reasonable bid for what needs to
okay.
be done.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got some contractors that he works with.
I'll talk with him. Okay.
Right. Yeah.
I really wouldn't want to put it on Keaton anymore.
Yeah, and I tried to be as gentle as I can. I said, "Hey, I know you got stuff going on, but." You know, we're going to pay somebody. If you or Nathan want to get paid for it, we'll give you, you know, top line. We don't want to take a cut on this. But he said, yeah, Nathan's too busy. And so he was kind of hemming and hawing. So I was like, okay, I'm not going to push on it.
Yeah,
so
Daniel's been, since Don gave him a big job.
He's, yeah.
He's been backed up to him and Fogarty and just giving these gigantic things and then backed up and all the different.
Yeah. Okay. So that's a good, Mike Hudgens, it's a good contact. Okay.
We are increasing rent $100 a month, effective January for both properties. So
okay.
That was our consensus on what was appropriate.
Probably the other big issue that we're going to have to deal with sooner rather than later, we've got stuff flaking off the building and all that again. And it's just the wrong time of the year to start attacking.
Right.
Is the roof. I think we're, you know, going to have to get somebody out here to really look at what we need to do. We don't want to wait until it starts sagging again. And
right.
I heard you were up on the roof having to push stuff around and, you know.
Yeah, I gently yelled at Tom that, you know, he kind of let things go for a while. And so the drains were getting clogged. And so yeah, I went up there during a storm. It's like, oh, there was just
yeah, we don't want you doing
no that. I know, but they were just full, and so I just kind of gently shook my finger at him and said, you know, you can never let that happen again. And yeah, there's issues up there. If we stay on top of it, you know, it's not that bad, but we weren't doing it for, it was probably a year those things were backed up, and so it was really bad. And so I got everything, you know, pretty much where it should drain after a storm, but yeah, it's going to need some attention.
I have a good flat roof vendor when the time comes
to
get bids. We had a flat roof done at our work, and we were real happy with them, and they were the low bidder of the bids we got.
Okay.
So let me know when that time comes around.
Okay.
because there'd be a lot of structural stuff that'll need to be fixed if we replace the roof.
Yeah.
So I think it'd be a good time to
put
lots of money into it, to a point, because there's a lot of damage that has been done in the past that has just been covered over.
Yeah.
And if you pull it all off,
yeah,
it's a good time to fix it all.
Yeah, the underlying corrugated steel is rusting pretty bad, so we'll have to take care of some of that.
Anybody else have anything?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
The first thing is the preaching. So I have a slated for giving on the 1st and the 8th. And let's talk about that. Do we want to do two Sundays doing that? Who's going to do that? How do we?
December?
Yeah. So that's the first thing. What do we want to do with that? Do we want to do two? Do we want to just do one?
Yeah, I'm real flexible. I think at least one is very appropriate,
yeah,
as opposed to a brief announcement or something.
Yeah.
I think dedicating a sermon for an update and a message, mm-hmm, is good. I haven't fleshed out any great ideas to, yeah, know what to do with that or what to stretch into two, so I'm open for whatever suggestions.
Mm-hmm. Use Malachi.
Sounds good.
The only reason I would suggest two is going back to Jeff's, I think, proven theory that on any given Sunday we have up to 20-30% of the regular, yes, members that aren't there, you know, for weddings or, you know, different things where we're out, you know, and I think, you know, just the idea of catching as many,
yeah,
of the regular members, I think would be a good, and certainly there's, I would think, enough material,
yeah,
to cover some good things about giving in two Sundays, but I don't know, I mean, it's, and just maybe a good follow-up announcement after a week of the lesson being focused on that might be, okay, adequate too. But
so I hear two. That's the main thing. I just want to know who I have to slot in if we have to see. So 1st and the 8th?
Yeah. Are we needing one of those dates for anything that's coming up, like Logan, maybe?
He's on January 12th.
He's January.
Yeah,
okay.
Could be January 12th. And then I had also the elders in for January 5th. And again, these were just ideas.
Right.
As we start the new year, doing that. I've got Jason Vincent for the 22nd. That's our pancake breakfast, and have Jason Vincent. And kind of going along with the theme of God's faithfulness, with the Christmas story, you know, with God's faithfulness in giving us Jesus. So that, then I got the 15th, which is an open date I have there.
So
but then I'm kind of...
Pancake breakfast is the 15th, I think.
Oh, it is.
What is
it? Sorry, 15th.
Yeah. Okay, that doesn't change anything.
Because we've traditionally not had it the week of Christmas, like the Sunday before Christmas.
Okay.
Just because there's so many people that were out.
Okay.
And so I saw that and I was going to mention it to you yesterday.
Okay.
So.
Okay, so it doesn't change anything. So,
yeah.
So the 15th... I have to get someone to speak, and again, I've been kind of waiting to fill the rest of that in, seeing if we have a candidate that comes in that we have to bump all the other people. So
I wonder if we were to leave. So say that we plan for two giving, and if there was one of them that somebody was coming in, we could give up one and then move everybody a week.
Yeah,
something like that.
So there's a whole lot of things we could do, and people that are speaking, I told them we may have
to
bump them, except for Jeff Fogarty, because
he's leaving
after that. So, but it's that's coming up, so I don't think.
So I'm confused about this. So December 1 we have hope, and December 8th love, but I just heard December 1st and 8th was talking about.
Those are the Advent
candles and the
candles. So those are the
just the lighting.
Okay, so it's not
so those
the,
are the,
not
the,
oh, okay,
the traditional weeks of Advent, which is, since we had Advent on there, I left those on there so that's what everybody else is just celebrating too.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily the theme of the preaching, but it's the Advent candle week.
that each family lights the candles.
Right? Yeah, that is a little confusing.
Yeah, so if you give this to people, if I read it, that's what I would think. But
you would expect the preaching to be that?
Yeah. That's
right. Yeah, so it would be a little strange to come in to a hope.
They get a surprise.
Yeah.
But we will talk about that. So right. That'll be
we hope you will give more.
That's right. I like that.
And we love you. Yeah. If you do, we'll be joyful.
Excellent. Yeah. Okay.
And so then that gets us into the 5th and the 12th. Then we got January, and I guess we start all over again with different things, different.
So I just wanted to say that my...
He's volunteering.
Yeah, okay, good. I'll put you on for the 19th.
Good job, Ross.
No, sorry, that's the way it goes around.
Now, my uncle, he's at the Ridge Church in Sullivan, and like they just did a merger, and he went from being preacher to being their engagement minister, and after doing that for a year, he's retiring from that, doesn't like it, and he's going to funeral home work. But he's been a preacher for a long time. He works with Philip Matheny in their program at Africa. Yeah. So he said that he'd be available on Sundays if we needed to
a preacher. I think I met him. He's at the Christian church there?
Well, it was a Christian church, and now they combine with the Ridge, so they're called the Ridge. But yeah, it's a Christian church.
Yeah, I met him at the Christian church convention.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Can you hear that?
I can hear that.
Okay, I thought it was in my ear.
If we're looking for outside people.
Okay, all right. So, and then, okay, now I'll just throw this out. So we get into January. We still have several months of having to fill in. We just heard Jerry. Do we want to ask him to come back and do a series? He just finished writing a book on the kingdom. That he's just, it's really something that's really been on his heart. And he's not asking, and I'm just throwing out ideas.
I got lots of compliments, several compliments.
I thought he's done great.
On him, and so people have enjoyed that. And this is October. I would think January would be very appropriate for a couple more from him.
Or even February, like at the beginning of February or something.
Yeah, right. Spread out on a kingdom topic.
Okay.
You know, if we find ourselves there, I think that's a good thing to have in the idea.
Back pocket. So he said whatever he needs to do to help us, he would do it. So
there were... Finance meeting, Elizabeth's going to write him a check.
Yeah.
We need a W-9.
Yeah, I gave him the W-9.
Okay, good.
Supposed to give it back to me. That I never did yet, so I'll tell them that you send a W-9 and we send you a check. That's according to Elizabeth.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'm not arguing with her.
Oh, yeah. So that's kind of where we're at. So the 15th, I may need to find somebody, and I thought about Eric. People liked Eric.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all the ideas with all that. So,
and we don't have a theme for next year's, though.
No, we don't have any themes yet.
So we need to start thinking about that, too.
Right, yeah. And also, I brought up an idea of kind of the need for hospitality and just about having a shepherd's Christmas reception on a Sunday night. Not at everyone's house, but kind of some doubling up. And it was just an idea. Do we want to go for something with that or not?
What date are you referring to?
Probably the 15th.
Of December.
It'd be the 8th or the 15th of December would probably, before it gets really crazy, or it could be the 1st, 8th, or 15th.
I like the idea.
And what's the idea?
Just to have sort of
some kind of food.
Yeah.
Fellowship. Church.
A reception, the elders hosting reception at the different elders' homes. Invite people in their homes.
The idea came up when we realized that we just don't have people in their homes like we used to, you know. And we thought, as elders, we could maybe kind of jumpstart that a little bit by having something like this, you know, in December, and then beyond that, maybe us kind of sparking it by continuing to, you know, once a month or every 6 weeks or something, just trying to have somebody into our home to share a meal or whatever.
So, I mean, something like this, I mean, you're just throwing out a challenge. Hey, it'd be great. I would encourage you to have people into your house sometime this week.
I, I wouldn't say it'd have to be tied to that, but I think hopefully it would be an example that would
carry. No, I'm just trying to say, I'm just trying to figure out what we're talking about.
So we talked about a month
ago. Well, I know, but we talked about, I don't understand what we're talking about. So
just the need for hospitality that we've lost.
I don't think we need to trumpet that, though.
But I'm just wondering what we're talking about, though. What? So are you asking us, are you encouraging us to have people in our house sometime over these next 3 weeks?
Okay, no. So there's two things. The first thing is just try to plan a date in December to have the shepherds host. And one date where we have like maybe four different homes so we don't crowd everybody's home. Right. And probably a geographical thing. And we have eight people here. And I'm just throwing out ideas. We have eight people here, and so we have four different homes. That we have the shepherds and their wives host it, invite people over. People can sign up in the foyer, which home they go to. We make it a special night, and people that have small groups, we would encourage them not to meet that night, and just.
So if you think about like a progressive meal tradition,
right? Now this isn't going to work. So, I mean, I kind of understand what you're saying. So you're challenging us to have people in our house, which I think is a great idea.
That's one thing.
Right.
But, okay, so no, ignore that now. The second thing is just maybe a good thing to do as shepherds is to host a Christmas.
Right. So you are challenging us to have people in our house, which I think is a great idea.
That's one thing.
Which would be after December.
Yeah. But in December, just the shepherds hosting a Christmas reception in their homes.
Right, so you're challenging us to have people in our house.
Yes.
So, which sounds like a good idea. So you're wanting us to, it would be good to have people in our house.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the next one is how do we pick the people? So is it free-for-all? So you know, we've got four people, and you know, one house may have 150 people in it, and one may have three.
Are you talking about this Christmas reception?
Yes.
Yeah, with the Christmas reception, we announce it to people and say, please sign up in the foyer. We'll have four different sign-ups places, and we'll limit it, say 15 families on each one or 10, and people will sign up for one of those. And we try probably like a geographical, you know, try to be strategic geographically.
And so I don't know that we can be strategic if we're posting a sign up, right? Like,
well,
we
can encourage people. We're strategic in.
Oh, like we'll make sure that
four places spread, as much as
they can. I see.
Yeah, like we're both in Crestwood, so maybe we would work together. You guys are both in St. Charles. You could do one. You guys are right on Manchester. I don't know. I'm just.
Yeah, and so I think that we were probably going to have to do more than four in order to really make it an offering to the whole congregation. Because if you think four divided by 100, that means everybody has 25 people in their house. If you assume that more than 25 or more than 100 people are going to sign up, like family wise, then 25 is a lot. I mean, you can think about whoever has the biggest house.
Yeah.
Putting 25 people in there is going to be a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so we may need to think about maybe more than just four.
Mm-hmm.
Strange is we struggled to create this building so we could bring people together. And, you know, we say, I know how my wife reacts to that kind of thing, which is, let's take people out to eat. But, you know, she doesn't have to deal with all the stuff that, you know, cleaning and afterwards and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So
being in a home versus in a church building is different. It's a little more personable, being in a home versus in a church building.
Yeah, I think there's a plus to it being and again, the seed of this was just reminiscing that I think years ago we had a better handle on this. I think the times that I felt personally I felt best about this was Sergio and Cindy Munoz and Debbie and I just said we're going to have people into our homes every other or once a month, and
So one time it'd be at the Munoz's, one time it'd be at our house, and we'd invite a couple families, and we'd have dinner and just get to know each other better. Mm-hmm. And we did that for years, and other families did that too. And it was just, I think, probably one of the best things about building community, you know, it's most effective thing about it. So trying to work towards initiating that, I think there's been a lot of reasons why we've drifted away from that, you know, over the last several years, but in COVID not being the least of those, but I think some way to try to get back to where we are in each other's homes more. And I think it's going to help small groups. I think it's just going to help build the community together in a lot of ways, you know. So that's the ultimate goal. And Steve, and I think rightly so, just suggested, okay, let's in December, as elders, maybe we should start by inviting people into our homes, you know. And I don't think we have to say we're doing this because we want you to do this coming up. I just think maybe we then are the generator of that, hopefully, that we could do something in the new year to start building an interest. Find a family that you want to do that with in the congregation, and let's just start doing that, you know? And so that's sort of my picture of how it would work. The thing in December is just an event, you know? It's not a... whether it needs to be five homes or four homes, or, you know, I
logistics is a different.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
not the twist in there too, because I think it's a great opportunity. I love it. I think there's another component to it that might be also worthwhile to consider. When we invite our brothers and sisters from a congregation our home, we can invite a neighbor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, invite a neighbor to come in and be a part of that. You know, and so. I think that would be something to think about as well, because it gives us an opportunity for engagement in a non-threatening way, and people can kind of just get to know one another. So that would be something, I think, you know, a little twist to it.
To think about. What about instead of squeezing it into December, kind of feels like, what if we did it in January and hospitality was a theme mm-hmm. for some sermons mm-hmm. that we consider for January, and then we build on that?
And I think with that, you know, I'm just trying to think in my head how to make this work, is if you don't try to do it all at once. And like, you know, January and February, the elders, again, we're challenging the elders to do this, and I think it's a good thing. January and February, we have, you know, two or three opportunities where we do this. And then I think that seems doable. You know, you get a reasonable-sized group of people. And
you mean doing it in January and February rather than December?
Well, instead of December, having 150 people in your house, in January and February, you do it like two or three times each shepherding group, you know, it's like there's two or three opportunities, and then you invite a smaller group of people, and it just seems more manageable. And again, if you're going to do hospitality, and it's just, to me, that seems like that might be a practical way to make it happen. And again, I'm just trying to think in my head how you make this work. So
yeah, those months might be better too, because people are so busy in December, you know. So January and February might be a time where we might even get more participation, you know. The holiday period is a time where we want to be with one another. Obviously, that's a good time to do that, but January and February might be a time.
And that would replace the mystery meal, let's say. Okay. Because the mystery meal was at the end of February last year, or this year. And so, I mean, that would be something that we could sort of build up to it, whether it's a sermon series building up to it, or it be that we say the whole month of February, we'll just open our doors up for people to come over.
I would think if we did that, then we would invite people to our homes instead of having a sign up.
Yeah.
That, you know, if you have a series of two or three lunches or dinners at your house, you'd be able to do that.
Well, my only concern about that is, I think there could be potentially a large number of the congregation that doesn't get invited.
Yeah.
Well, we would know. We'd tally it up. We'd know who'd you invite, who'd you invite, who's left to invite. And so you know, we've got, you know, 16 opportunities, you know, how are we going to make sure that we've asked people?
And there's, maybe we just send out invitations to people, like physical invitations, and then that way we know that they've been reached out to, and we can send them all out at the same time.
I would say no.
But
yeah, I would just walk up and talk to somebody.
Or like have them written on a piece of paper and you hand it to them, and that way you have your address on it. It's sort of like an official, you're inviting them by mouth, but you're also giving them paper that you're sort of keeping track of everything too.
And inviting people versus having something and letting people sign up.
More personal.
You invite people, some people won't get invited, or if you just have a thing, and I'm not arguing it, you have some people sign up, people can, they will initiate if they feel left out, they have an opportunity to not be left out in going to someone's home.
Yeah.
So it sounds like we want to do something in January or February. Is that what the consensus is?
I'd advocate that.
Okay.
But I like, you feel the need for increasing our efforts in hospitality. Yeah. I think that's a really good.
Mm-hmm. And I like the idea of a theme.
Yeah.
Like faithfulness, and then hospitality be one in January, February, or something.
Yeah. Okay.
Kreider's term was radical hospitality.
Yeah, right.
Refresh that a little bit.
I don't know if we want to go through the radical thing again.
I don't know. I like that.
Yeah, well, I do too. Yeah. That's what it is.
We got 10 minutes, guys, before we get started.
All right, that's all I got. Sorry.
No, that's good.
So about this, just let me run through real quick. So this is the idea was to send this out, or to give this out to everybody that comes to Trunk or Treat. This would be something that we would start posting up on the projectors as well. So before, like, we would put it up this Sunday, because this Sunday's Trunk or Treat. And so we would start seeing this everywhere, like on throughout the whole Christmas time. There's, if you have wording changes or things like that, we're open to changing them. This was just sort of the sample to throw out there. There's a thing or two that Steve and I have talked about that we, Steve Walker and I, about trying to figure out a good word for saying this is our normal Sunday versus these two Sundays, or the one Sunday that's different, and then we're getting together at 9 for pancake breakfast. But I don't have a lot of time to chat about it now. Afterwards, we can talk about it, or if you have any thoughts, then just let me know.
It is, you know, we invite them, the visitors, to come, and then December 1st and 8th, we talk about giving.
Yeah,
that would be very turn off.
Yeah, maybe we'll take the topics off.
Because I think that, so that it's very true, but we're inviting them to church all the time, and we're just saying, hey, if you're going somewhere during Advent, this is a good place for you to be at. And so we're not trying to. And we're not putting the themes of the sermons for any of those weeks. Right. We're just putting, this is the week of the Advent.
And it's just, they come, they get about 2 or 3 minutes worth of it, and that's it.
So it's different than the budget sermons, I think, the giving sermons. But I think that that's, you have to know that there's, you always have to talk about giving. So, and we just came out of Thanksgiving, so.
Yeah.
We gave thanks, now it's time for us to ask for your money.
I do like having something to hand out at Trunk or Treat and try to leverage that. Because we do get some community in there.
It's probably the largest community other than the...
Yeah.
And so I like having something ready to go for that. So I really appreciate that thought. And this seems fine. I think that's a good observation.
Yeah.
It's good timing for a congregation. But
what was the event we had? Oh, that was the what was it that we had church and we had a lot of people in the foyer that were, was that for the egg hunt?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, when they got the good, they came.
And nobody knew they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. They were here for the egg hunt.
Yeah.
Of course. Before we go ask the questions, thanks for having us.
Yeah, I made these for me. I think it went really well, the conversation with Jeff Fogarty and him about their merger. They sent him away with a good thought questions, I think, and he's open to talking more and just having a conversation as they move through different things. And I think you guys have said that he also is interested in possibly bringing them as well to the conversation.
We offer that as an option if they want to do that as well.
That's definitely positive. The Brockingtons were here last week. I don't know how many talked to them, but so I think one of the biggest concerns that they have right now, so we had lunch with them, Jeff O'Grady and us. I was sick, but I was there. I had two doctors around me, so it was good. So the one thing that they are concerned about right now, their church that has sponsored them up until this point is no longer sponsoring them.
Mm.
And so they're working on trying to get the church where they're at now in Alabama to be that main sponsoring congregation. But they're doing okay.
What church was it? The Houston Church?
Yes.
Clear Lake?
Yeah, I think that's the name.
Byron was.
Maybe not that. Or maybe it is that one. So it's one of the churches in Houston that it was they're supporting originally.
Yeah.
And they switched to some other mission, and they decided that they don't.
Well, that's kind of, yeah. I think a lot of people that were donating to them found something else, and then
So the church that they're at now, they're hoping to get them to be that supporting congregation. We're not planning. I mean, we don't have a lot of extra funds to do that kind of thing right now, so we're not even looking at that. I didn't even offer it to them as an option. So they would have killed me. I would have lost my job on the missions committee. And so,
do they understand the complications from the,
So we've had lots of conversations about that, me and them, about it historically. And I've tried to push them to different people as well.
Yeah.
Jeremy Picker being one of them, because they had a good relationship with him. That church there, I don't remember him telling me that they had many missions that they support.
Uh-huh.
So that's much closer to Alabama than to us even. So. I can tell you more about the Bible classes and stuff like that for next year, but we'll have to talk about that at a different time. There's some really positive things we're trying to work on with that. Trunk or treat,